Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
All right, guys, welcome down to a very exciting episode 86 of the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast. We're here on location today. We can say where we are.
We can.
We're at Broome Park, which is 28 minutes away from Royal St. George's, which today, in fact, 1 hour, 5 minutes ago, the very first tee shot was hit by Richard Bland from England. And Andy Sullivan and Marcus Armitage in the first group.
That's a good group.
Very good group. English trio. For the 149th Open Championship. It's been missing for 2 years. It's back, baby. And I'm really excited. We're going today.
Yes.
First championship day. We've been to the last couple of practice days, which have been epic, which we're going to talk about. And also, we really want to thank our good friends at MasterCard who have set this whole trip up.
Yes.
They sponsored the podcast. Thank you very much. We've got a really cool interview later on today with one of MasterCard's ambassadors, Victor Hovland, who is obviously playing in the Open Championship from Norway. We also, in the middle of this podcast, we have a little bit of a kind of, we're bouncing around everywhere today, aren't we?
Yeah, today's podcast, as you said, it's very kindly been sponsored by MasterCard. And it's a bit of a like a sandwich of a podcast.
Oh,
nice
guy, very much on brand there with the Open being sandwiched this year.
We've got a bit of Rick and Guy at the start, we've got Rick and Victor Hovland towards the back end of the podcast, and sandwiched in between is a very interesting kind of 10-minute discussion you had with Christina.
From MasterCard and Phil from the RNA.
That was something that we don't talk about very often. It's something that I don't think about often enough. But it was something about sustainability that actually was really interesting. And if you're watching this on YouTube, you'll see our water bottles here. Because at the Open this year, you cannot buy a plastic bottle of water, I believe.
Well, 2 years ago at Rawport Rush, did Phil say they saved something like 135,000 bottles of water used at the Open Championship, which is obviously great for the world, great for the environment. You don't have to dispose of them. It saves so much money and it's great for the environment. So listen to that chat in the middle. Also, you have a chance, which I think is really important. For as little as £1.50 donation, you get to do two really good things.
Yes.
You get to one, plant a tree. Yes. Which is great.
It is cool.
Like, that's a really cool thing to do. Obviously, with everything going on in the world at the moment, we need to look after our planet. And number two, if you donate as little as £1.50, you get entered into a draw to win a once-in-a-lifetime trip to the 150th Open Championship next year at the home of golf, St. Andrews.
My favourite place in the world, bar none.
So find out in a little bit how you enter that. Right. Royal St. George's, we've been there a couple of days so far. What have you thought about the venue and what's your hot take so far?
Well, so this podcast comes out Friday, so everyone listening will have known what happens Thursday, obviously. We don't know yet, it's Thursday morning, so it's now 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
We went Wednesday and we went Tuesday to the Open, and it was the first Open I've been to since 2018. It was 2019 when it was at Royal Port Rush. I went with you a couple of weeks earlier when you did some filming there, but not the actual Open. So I've missed it. That's the first thing to say. I've missed the Open. It's my favourite major. I've said that a few times. I often wear my Open cap, even when it's an Open week. I love the major. For me, it sits a little bit above the Masters. But this week, I have just liked seeing people walking around a golf course, enjoying watching golf. I've also enjoyed seeing the superstars up in the flesh. We've seen John Rahm, Phil Mick, Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, Rory, Tommy Fleetwood, Minwoo Lee, your friend of mine, certainly your friend. And one thing I did notice, actually, just briefly, we saw Bryson and he was on the range smacking it. We know he hits it far, but the distance and the height, to watch him from just literally 10 foot away or whatever, was unbelievable.
Yeah, he is... Yeah, we didn't see him out on the golf course yesterday, did we? Because he was supposed to be playing with Mickelson, Rahm, and DJ, which would have been a killer group. But it looks like DJ and Bryson kind of jumped away. As a practice round, a lot of the times, there's no real structure to it. Some players will play 10 holes, some will only play a handful, some will play more than 18. And they just jump around. Sometimes the players on their own, like we saw Brooks Koepka just out there on his own.
Yeah.
You know what, I really liked Brooks.
So we say what he did that was... Go on, sorry.
There was just a little walkway between... I can't remember the holes now. Was it something like 12 and 13 or something like that? And naturally, there's a lot of people waiting for Brooks Koepka, watching him, and he's just chilling there on his own with his caddy, Ricky Elliott, and he's walking through this little pathway where the roped-off areas are, where all the marshals are. And this year, it's quite strict. Like, players have to stay in their kind of bubble. Mm. There's no autographs. It's quite hard for fans to really, really get up close and personalised this year. That's just COVID. It's one of those things. But Brooks Koepka, through that little walkway, I mean, there must have been 30, 40 people in that little walkway. And he really spent time, certainly with the young fans.
Yeah.
So, like, I wouldn't say kids, but the younger fans.
Teenagers.
Taking selfies. And, like, respectfully, he was socially distanced, but, you know, a group of lads, and they were taking the selfie. And I had Brooks in the background. And he walked through this line and probably took 10 pictures. And I just thought, fair dues. And I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but that was this year, it's an easy excuse for these players to just go, I can't. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
They can just hide behind the regulations, the government settings, whatever it may be, what the RNA have set out. But he didn't. He spent the time to go through. And he was laughing. He was joking. And I heard someone say something about Bryson, and he kind of laughed it off and stuff like that. So, yeah, big credit to that. I really enjoyed seeing that.
That will literally make people's year. Like getting a picture of one of the best golfers in the world, a four-time major winner that you can put on Instagram or just send to your family. That was a nice touch. But then he did something that... the most swag I've ever seen on a golf course. We saw him on hole, was it like 15 or whatever it was when he hit the pitch?
Oh, that's sick.
Let's paint the picture. He's on his own at this point. Oh, no, was he with somebody else?
He was Marcel Seam.
And he was about 120 yards away,
would you say?
Like that, yeah. It might not be a bit less, a bit more, whatever. It looked about 120. He hit this approach pitch in. It landed maybe 15 foot short, took a massive hop forward, spam backwards, like proper checked up to like a foot. Foot and a half.
It just, when it landed in the green, you could hear
the brakes were coming on.
You could hear it screw into the turf. And like I say, it just stopped on a dime and just, it was a foot away, max.
So that's the first part that he did that was obviously impressive.
Yeah.
He then walks up to it, takes his time with his putter in his hand, gets the ball, doesn't give it himself, doesn't just knock it in one-handed, pulled it back, probably triple the distance it was. So now he pulls it back to about 6.5 foot, knocks it in. And did it again and knocked it in. Did it even possibly three times?
Yeah.
And then just walked off.
It was just ridiculous.
That's when golf's too easy, isn't it? When you put the ball further away from the hole because you just know it'll go in.
Yeah. No, that, like I say, for me, if there was all those people watching, and there was about 8,000 people there yesterday.
Busy, didn't it, though?
It's due to be 30-odd thousand today.
Ridiculous.
Which is going to feel much, much busier. Also, thanks for everyone who came up and spotted us.
Yeah, well, spotted you.
I must admit, yesterday... there was a lot of pictures being taken. So I appreciate everyone that came up. And you might have heard it on the podcast we did the other night. Not many people asked for a treat.
No.
It might have been a bit put off. They might have not known what they were getting out of my pocket. But I gave out a few little treats yesterday, and I'll try and do that again today. This will be too late. I was going to say if you do see me, but I've already gone by this point.
What about the awkward one we had here when we came out of the hotel? When that guy said, oh, Rick, oh, and Guy, obviously, since the podcast, could I get a picture? So I was obviously quite pleasantly surprised. Oh, yeah, okay. So you obviously dead used to it. And we got a picture of this guy. And then he went to his mate, do you want one? And, oh, yeah. But I think he obviously didn't, I don't know if he knew who I was or not.
So I don't think he did. It felt a bit strange.
I kind of like moved out the way. It's like, oh, dead awkward. I can't turn around and say, do you want with me as well? Said, who the hell are you, mate? Rick's bag carrier. Get out of the way.
It's really good. What else did we see that was interesting?
Just the whole... imagine if you've not been to a tour. How would you explain what the Open's like to somebody? Because Matt and Harry with us off camera hadn't been to a tour event before. They were obviously loving it. But how do you explain? There's so much going on.
There's so much going on, but weirdly, you don't... And people will probably disagree with me here who are really hardcore, like, major fans, certainly Open fans. I don't really feel like you see that much actual golf.
No.
And that sounds really strange because... You're more in the environment. Like, if you wanted just actually to watch golf, watch it on TV, mm-hmm. is probably the better way of doing it. But what you miss on the TV is the atmosphere, what the conditions feel like. It was windy yesterday. Yep. That was one thing that I really noticed. And a lot of people on the range was packed yesterday. And I think that was down to the fact that because it was so windy, a lot of players had their launch monitors out, the GC quads, the Trapmans, and they were trying to figure out, in this wind, how much is the ball being affected by the conditions? Mm-hmm. And I think that was something that I really... You can only feel that when you're obviously at the venue. And also the things like the rough, how green everywhere is, because we've had a lot of rain here in England over the last few weeks, and typically when an Open Championship is at a links course and there's been a dry spell, sometimes the fairways are as hard as this table, and the colour of this table, which, by the way, if you're listening, we're just on a brown wooden table, not on a green lush table. So where, like, say, this time it probably looks more like a snooker table because it's much more green. It's very, I feel like greenkeeping for links golf courses and opens have changed enormously over, like, we were watching the big screens yesterday while having some lunch. By the way, how good were those chicken dippers?
Chicken dippers and chips were expensive, but phenomenal.
Unbelievable. Food at the Open is very good, actually. And the drink was good. They were showing highlights of 10 years ago at Royal St. George's, when Darren Clarke won and Phil Mickelson was in contention and Dustin Johnson was
in contention. How different does Dustin look then, by the way?
So different.
It was like a young Rick Shields pre-beard.
I forgot to tell you as well, I think you were chatting to someone. He had Joe, Tiger's caddy on the bag.
Joey LeCava?
Yeah.
Did he?
Joey LeCava was caddying for Dustin Johnson at the Royal St. George's.
I didn't realise that. 2011. 11. I think it was. So 11.
10 years ago.
10 years ago.
But when you see the golf course then, and you see, it just looked more manicured.
It was those like rings on the green of like longer grass,
a bit like diseased.
No, yeah, I don't know what that was.
Where the greens now, certainly in Open Championships, they're like perfect, and the fairways are much more perfect. I think there's been obviously an evolution of greenkeeping in those 10 years, naturally, but also I think more inspiration from golf courses in America because they're much more like that, where there's nothing out of place. Is there?
The one thing I noticed massively, I said this to you already. The condition of the bunkers, like the kind of face, the wall, if you like, on those pot bunkers, it's just like pristine. There's no weeds, there's nothing out of place, just absolutely pure. Greens are pure, fairways are pure, rough is disgusting.
Did you see the clip? And I think you told it me, but I hadn't seen it, but I saw it last night, where they are...
The big flamethrower.
Yeah, like flamethrowing the faces of the bunkers, so there's no, like, weeds or... It's madness, really. It's crazy.
It's unreal, but the whole atmosphere... I mean, the range is one of my favourite bits. So watch, you watch these guys that we said, like, Bryson smacking it, but even just guys who you might even know the name of, because, like, again, I follow tour golf, but not where I know every single player's playing the Open, what they look like and how good they are and stuff. So you see some guys who obviously, oh, there's Rory, there's Dustin, whatever. And you might see a guy you've never heard of. But you watch them all strike it with irons, even wedges, drivers, and it's just different. You don't see that at normal golf clubs ever.
It sounds different.
Yeah.
Quick hot take before we get into the MasterCard and R&A chat, and then obviously Victor Hovland. That's really interesting. You've definitely stayed tuned for that. We spent a little 5-10 minute chat with our good friend Min Woo Lee.
Yes.
So we watched him on the. We tried to watch him on the golf course, but he had jumped ship. He'd gone onto the driving range. I managed to get a message to him and say, "Where are you?" He said, "I'm on the range." We wandered over to the range and we were watching him for a bit, and he was just striping it. I honestly think, genuinely, he was up there with one of my favorite golf swings.
It's
on
pure.
The driving range. And even compared to, like, your best players, the sound that he hits it is epic.
Yeah.
I know we've banged on about him loads, and he obviously won the Scottish Open. He is a ridiculous talent. He is going to go a long way.
He's a very nice guy as well.
He's so nice that he came over when you're not supposed to come over to the riffraff, which were us.
Yeah.
And he spent 5 minutes with us chatting about how, you know, amazing it was, thanking us for the support that we've given him on the podcast, thanking you guys listening and watching and supporting him. His social media following's gone through the roof. He's feeling love everywhere. Like, he's getting a lot of people out on the golf course saying, "Oh, well done, we heard you from the Rick Shields golf show, or we saw you on the Break 75. So he's loving it. Please, 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 everyone watching, everyone listening, Min Woo Lee is our man.
Yes.
Like, let's support him. Let's get really behind him. And hopefully he has an amazing week this week. If he cracks into, he's currently 61st in the world, I think he said.
Yes.
Or 62nd. If he cracks into the world top 50, doors really start to open.
He gets in every, don't you say, WGC, every major. Like, that is, for these guys, these elite level top 50 is absolutely where it's at. So he's so close now. Decent. If he makes the cut and has a decent finish this week, I imagine that will pump him up to top 50.
Name me one thing I regret.
About yesterday?
Just in life at the moment. Talking about Minwoo Lee. That 2 months ago, I didn't put an offer on the table and say, will you wear Rick Shields' hat, Rick Shields' head cover, Rick Shields' apparel for this fee?
I think Hugo Boss might have just outbid you, though.
For 2 years.
Imagine. I should get not betting on him every week. I bet on him now for this weekend just because I feel like I have to.
Yeah.
We spoke to the guy from Callaway, Owen, who said after that video we filmed, he thought, right, I'm going to bet on Minwoo Lee every week now. I've seen him in the flesh so many times. He's an awesome golfer. He's going to win again soon. So I think the first 3 weeks he was betting on him, and then he just kind of forgot, and now he obviously won the Scottish Open. He would have won a fortune.
So Minwoo Lee, I think, is going to have a great chance after winning the Scottish Open, full of confidence. He's playing with Sam Horsfield today, which is another friend of the channel, which hopefully we're going to do some videos with soon. For me, we're going to have one pick each, and then we're going to get into the chit-chats.
Did you say in the last episode who you're going to win? Who you think's going to win?
Genuinely think Rahm's going to win. I think I did say that in last week's episode. So even though, weirdly, I've not put a bet on him, because I think his odds are too short. I just think Rahm, if I was to put money where my mouth is, even though I'm not betting on him, John Rahm, I think, is going to win the Open.
Okay, I'm going to go... Dustin.
Dustin Johnson.
It's a bit safe, then. I'd love... Minwoo Lee is who I obviously want to win. I've backed him as well. But I do think Dustin.
Now, you guys have watched round one, so you might know we're miles off the mark, where both players might miss the cut. But either way, that's our picks right now. Right, let's talk something really important here on the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast, which we should be responsible about, and everybody in the world should be responsible for. We've got to look after our planet. It's the only one we've got. So we sit down with Christina and Phil from the RNA, and really insightful, and again, a chance to win tickets to the 150th Open Championship.
Big one.
So down here at the Open, which I'm really excited about, Royal St. George's, and I'm joined here by Christina and Phil. In 30 seconds, Christina, explain who you are and what you do.
I'm Christina Cliverdance, and I'm the Chief Sustainability Officer for MasterCard.
That's nice and simple. Phil?
So, Philip Russell, Assistant Director of Sustainability at the RNA, and focused primarily on the impact and legacy of staging the Open.
Perfect. So I've been now here at the Open today, and I've noticed around everywhere these water stations, which are fantastic, you know, use of space, great for spectators, you know, it's free to use. You can buy a water bottle, and you can donate as well. But I want to find out a little bit more about where that came from, where it started, and the impact that's going to have in the future as well. Who wants to pick that up?
So, so if I give a bit of the background. So as the organizer of the event, ourselves at the RNA, we're very committed to sustainability and looking at, in particular, the environmental impact of staging the championship. And we knew, of course, in the last years, single-use plastic has been one of the big areas of focus globally. And historically, we were reliant on single-use plastic water bottles on site, and we were getting through quite a lot of them, as you can imagine, for an event this size. So we said, okay, we need to change that. We need to get rid of those, and we need to do something different. And we wanted to move to a refill solution. So we worked with a Swedish company called Blue Water, a world leader in water purification technologies and stainless steel drinking bottles. And we bought in for the first time in Port Rush, so the 148th Open back in 2019, water stations across the venue giving free, chilled, purified drinking water.
Nice.
Asked people to bring their own bottles to site, free drinking water all day, or if you wanted to, a stainless steel one, commemorative edition on site.
Have you got a stat to hand how many litres of water were drank in those stations?
So I'll tell you a good one we've got. So in 2019, we enabled the removal of 123,000 single-use plastic water bottles via the project.
God, that's crazy.
So a big change. And then for us, we're delighted this year to step that project up a level and to collaborate with one of our official patrons for the Open, MasterCard.
And this is where you come into play.
And this is where I come into play. And so if you think about MasterCard, we're a payments company, a technology company. And we, for a long time, since the beginning and in our DNA, has been how we can use our business. And we've been focused on financial inclusion and bringing 500 million people into the formal economy. We did that last year. We doubled down and committed to 500 more, so a billion people. As you do that, we also know that growth cannot come at the expense of the planet. And so MasterCard has a reach of nearly 3 billion cardholders. And our thought as a company, our own environmental footprint isn't that significant, but we have a role to play in how we can shift consumer consumption and behavior. And so therefore, a partnership that we have, like the RNA and MasterCard, we can bring together our two brands, the network that we have. And for MasterCard, it fits so well with last year we announced a Priceless Planet Coalition and a commitment to plant 100 million trees around the world in 5 years. And if you think about the game of golf and you think about the Open as you've been here, and you're here and it's so critical and it's so evident all around you of nature, you've got water and you've got trees. And what we'll tell you about today is how we're actually marrying together the two of those to drive the benefit.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I'm really intrigued of. I mean, you're building more trees for golfers to hit, right? Because I hit a lot of trees in my time.
We're not planting them on golf courses.
Exactly. So let me tell you where. Yeah.
Go on.
So if you think about it, the Priceless Planet Coalition, and we now have 60 partners that are with us in this effort because this is bigger than any one of us. We're looking to plant where it can have the greatest impact to the environment.
Yep.
And initially, we're starting with projects in Brazil and in Kenya and in Australia. And so the contributions are going towards the planting there. But to get to 100 million trees, that's going to grow. And there are going to be many more projects that are going to benefit from it as well.
And are you simply aiming for 20 million each year? Or because it's a five-year plan,
so
right?
It's a five-year plan. And so I would love to outdo that 20 million each year because there's no limit at 100 million. But what we want to do is we want to engage consumers.
Yeah.
And so I'll let Phil talk for a second about how you cannot buy a plastic water bottle here. And so if you'll talk a bit about how the kind of the one-for-one transaction works.
Yeah, so we said we achieved something fantastic in 2019. We took away all those single-use plastic water bottles, and people loved it because it's a big systemic change for a major event.
Huge.
To do that. Big change. And we thought, okay, well, how can we now build it further? How can we make it better? We were very aware, you know, around the world now, we're all focused on tackling climate change. We need to restore our forests. They play an integral part in our climate system. So when MasterCard came and said, well, we have this Priceless Planet Coalition program, which is restoring tree cover in Earth's most vulnerable geographies, we thought there's a great connection to make here. So we said, well, water's going to stay for free on site at the Open. No one pays for drinking water. That's free, purified, chilled drinking water. But what if we give people the opportunity every time they take a drink from those refill stations to plant a tree? So on the stations around the venue, you'll see we've got Tap and Donate. Each one's set up for £1.50. That's all it costs to plant a tree in one of the PPC projects.
Brilliant.
And it's at the user's discretion. If you'd like to plant a tree every time you take a drink, one tap of contactless card and it's done.
That's amazing.
And linked with that, we said, okay, well, we're going to be selling these bottles on site. So for every refillable bottle sold on site, we'll make a contribution to Priceless Planet Coalition. So in coming to the Open, in enjoying water, in helping end the reliance on single-use plastic water bottles, you're also helping to restore global tree cover.
It's win-win, right?
It's a win-win. And this is the beginning. It becomes shifting this norm. And once you do this, you know, here, that becomes just a normal expectation. And we then can build off of that. And as consumers become more aware, as they become more educated, then they even start to demand more. And that's the cycle of this journey that we feel we are, you know, beginning.
Amazing. Now, people who aren't here at the Open this week, mm-hmm. obviously want to get involved. Listeners who are listening to the show from around the world. We have a massive, huge following everywhere, in every four corners of the world. How can they get involved in such a fantastic project?
So we set this up and we knew that, you know, on-site is going to be at the face of this. You know, using the water stations, enjoying that free, purified drinking water, buying a refillable bottle to take home. But we also said, look, we want this to be this one to reach to everyone.
Yeah.
So online, you only need to go to theopen.com/MasterCard.
Which I'll put a link in the description of this podcast and for the video as well.
Good.
Fantastic. And on there, you can make a donation directly into this program. So this is something everyone can get involved with. We've got the campaign on site. Everyone plays a part.
Yeah.
And we think this is a great thing for everyone to support, help do their bit, and together we can work to improve forests around the world.
And there's a huge initiative, right, if you donate online, because isn't there tickets for the most, possibly one of the most famous Open Championships ever next year, the 150th Open at St Andrews?
Incentive is always good, right?
Yeah. It is. So there is indeed a competition up to win some tickets to the 150th Open. Maybe as a little added boost for people to come and get involved in this.
So you have to donate as you can donate as much as you want, but you can donate as little as £1.50 to be entered into the draw to potentially be at next year's Open at St Andrews.
Correct.
That's a pretty good initiative. And I might say MasterCard are matching every donation as well.
That's correct. Because it's the more we can plant, the greater the impact. We know that trees are an incredible way to address climate change. And the one thing I'll say is that by contributing and donating as part of Priceless Planet Coalition, what we're focused on is more than just planting a tree.
Yeah.
To put a seed in the ground and to walk away is not what we're after. We're actually, what Phil said, is regrowing trees. And so it is really about doing it the right way. It's about science and doing it in a way that's going to have the greatest impact. And so amazing. By participating and being a part of Priceless Planet Coalition, we encourage you to join us and be part of the movement in making a real difference. We know that events like this, and especially when you're here, it's touching the passions of spectators that are here and around the world. And when you can connect that passion with also caring in a way to contribute, we feel like it's a real win-win.
Well, I think what you're doing is amazing. I will definitely be donating. Christina, amazing. Phil, superb. Have a great tournament. It's great to see that you're doing things that are for the world, and start it here at the Open Championship with MasterCard and the RNA. I think it's fantastic. Thanks for your time. Thanks for educating and teach everyone listening, and hopefully you all donate and get involved, and have a great Open Championship, everybody. Enjoy
it. Fantastic.
Thank you.
So that was good. That was interesting. I was sat off camera for that bit, and I must admit, I got a lot more engrossed into that conversation than possibly I thought I would do from telling the truth.
Yeah, I think it's one of those topics that I know me growing up, and probably you're the same, like I didn't massively overthink plastic use, but now it's so much more prevalent. Like, we have to be conscious about it. I teach my kids that they've got to recycle. I recycle a lot more. I feel guilty if I didn't recycle. And I think things like this, the little initiatives that can be done here, like these water bottles that you can buy at the Open, and use the filling stations where it's free to use. The water is ridiculously purified. And it's weird because normally I can't massively tell the difference in tasting water between tap water, bottled water, whatever. This water is clean.
It's so pure.
If you're here at the Open this week, definitely take advantage of that. But if not, just in life, just be more conscious about what you're doing with your plastic use. And the big thing, again, out of that story is that we can plant trees. We can work with MasterCard and the RNA to help plant more trees around the world for as little as £1.50 donation. They're going to match the contribution as well. You've got a few T's and C's you just want to cover.
You've covered most of it there, and most of it was in the little clip. Just to cover kind of our backs and MasterCard, just for this competition bit. You have a chance to win a trip to the 150th Open next year. If you visit theopen.com/MasterCard, you can make a donation to Conservation International and further the mission of the Priceless Planets Coalition. By donating just £1.50, you can plant one tree and enter to win the trip to the 150th at St Andrews. This is the big one. The prize includes a 3-night stay for you and a guest and hospitality tickets, a total of £15,000.
Wow. Flights as well, was that?
Yeah. And as you said, in addition, MasterCard will match your donation.
So I'll put a link in the description of the video. I'll put a link in the description of the podcast. Come on, Rick Shields Golf Show. Let's get behind this. I want one of our listeners to win that trip.
Imagine that.
So donate as much as you can, whatever you're comfortable with, but as little as £1.50, you get entered into a draw, and let's have somebody listening to this podcast or watching the video win a trip to the best major in golf at the home of golf next year.
Feels quite fitting talking about planting trees when outside this window there's loads of nice trees.
Very nice.
In the chalet.
Right, so then I got an opportunity to sit down with one of the best players in the world, currently 14th in the world. He's only been on tour for 2 years, Victor Hovland from Norway. We spoke about him recently because he won the BMW in Germany. Really cool kid. Yes. Really cool kid. I'm just going to put it out there on this clip. It was over Zoom. It wasn't done in person, unfortunately. I'd have loved to have done it in person, but because, again, the player bubble is so strict this year, couldn't do that, unfortunately. So he's on Zoom. There's a couple of times throughout the video where, like, the internet slightly drops off through the audio, shall I say, where the video just slightly drops off. But listen, it's not, you can still listen to it. So sit back, relax, and I get to sit down with one of the best players in the world. Well, Victor Hovland, thanks so much for joining us on the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Thanks, Rick. Good to be with you.
I'm excited because I get to chat to you ahead of the 149th Open Championship, which is at Royal St. George's this year. You mentioned you're down there currently and you had a couple of practice rounds. Kind of give us a bit of an insight inside the ropes to what it's like to prepare for one of the biggest golf tournaments in the world.
Yeah, so this is, interestingly enough, this is going to be my first time playing the British Open. I've had a few good chances in the past playing amateur tournaments. I lost in a 7-hole playoff at the European Amateur a few years back, and the next year I missed out on the final Open qualifier by shot. And I was supposed to play last year, or after winning the US Amateur I was qualified, but then I turned pro and wasn't able to play that year. And then last year obviously it got canceled, so this would be a long time coming, I feel like. But I've played Royal St. George's before. I played a British Amateur here. I believe that was in 2017. So I know the course already, but since I haven't played the last couple of weeks, I was back home in Norway just having a holiday, basically, playing here and there. So I decided to come Saturday morning, and I was able to play 18 holes then. And I played probably 13 holes yesterday. Just been practicing a little bit and just going to take it kind of maybe a little easier the next couple of days just to kind of get ready for Thursday.
Nice. And obviously with you playing majority of your golf on the PGA Tour, which is very, very different golf to what we see over here, certainly for the Open, how are you getting your game fine tuned for links golf particularly? And listen, I've actually never been to Norway, so I apologize. What are any golf courses in Norway similar to what you get at Royal St. George's?
Yeah, not really that I can think of. We don't have anything that you know, looks the same or plays the same. We have some coastal golf courses, but they're never as firm as the links course. We do have wind, so that's one factor. And obviously, living in Oklahoma in the States, it gets really windy. So I don't think the wind is going to be the tough part. But as of right now, the course has had a lot of rain the last, you know, few days, few weeks. So it's not soft, but it's pretty lush. The ball still rolls out, but everything is green. So it doesn't play as maybe as linksy as it normally does, which I think makes the adjustment a lot easier because it, you know, the balls are still stopping where it's kind of landing, or it's not rolling out as much, but I think it's, once it dries out, I think you're going to see a lot more of the golf course that you didn't know was in play, if that makes sense. You know, the ball is just going to end up in places you weren't expecting it to. So that's just one thing to watch out for as the course kind of dries up and gets firmer.
Does that make the rough much more lush as well? You mentioned everywhere's greener. Does that mean that the rough is thicker and juicier this year?
It's looking pretty good in spots. I would say it's pretty consistent, though, for the most part. It's not like you have one side that's kind of bare and the other side is just super thick. They're usually the same kind of thickness on each sides. And especially with kind of the wet layer around the grass, just makes it even tougher to get out of the grass. So it's going to be essential to be in the fairway.
So obviously you have had an incredible start to your professional journey because you are 23 years old currently, right?
Yep.
You've had 3 professional wins. You're 14th in the world ranking right now. I mean, is this everything you envisioned and more, or like just try and set the scene? Because am I right in saying you turned pro 2 years ago?
Yep.
So in that time, you've absolutely crushed it.
It's been quite a journey so far. Pretty crazy. And I think about it sometimes how, you know, let's say I stayed another year in school and then the pandemic hit, I technically could have been in school until right up to this point.
Wow.
So I basically would have turned pro right now. Which I would have been in a very different spot if that were the case. So I'm lucky that, you know, I played the golf that I did at the right time, and it kind of ended up being the way that it is now. But at the same time, I've worked really hard and I believe that I could do it. But as well, we all know we're capable of things, but for it to actually happen is another one. So it's a cool two. It feels like it's gone by really fast. But I look forward to keep pushing and winning some more golf tournaments.
Exactly. I mean, life on tour, is it how you expected it to be? Give the listeners a bit of an insight to your kind of your rookie season and then this obvious season that you're in now. Like, what is life on tour like?
Yeah, it's pretty lonely at times, especially as a rookie. When I first came out, I played on a couple of semesters exemptions. You know, and I'm 21 years old, and I don't know anyone in the field. I just hired a new caddy, so I don't really know who the caddy is either. You know, you're just kind of learning the ropes and trying to. And obviously it's challenging on the golf course, but then as well off the golf course, you're used to just going with your college teammates and you have dinner, you have a team meeting with the coaches and I would share a room with a teammate and you're just constantly around people all the time. And then suddenly you finish your round and there's no one there to tell you what to do. So that was a big learning process for me because I kind of had to take ownership of everything that I do. Not that that was really a problem because you do that in college, you know, you figure out what you and all that stuff, but it's different when you don't even have the option to kind of listen to other people as well. So it's, that was a learning process, but I think my personality works really well, when I'm by myself, a decent amount, but at the same time, I'm out on the golf course and I'm around people a lot too, and talking and being social. But I really like the kind of, I've gotten used to the balance of that, of, you know, having a couple hours to myself at night. And then when I'm out of the golf course or go to dinner with other people, it's, you know, being social. So I'm used to that life at this point.
We had Ming Woo Lee on the podcast a few months ago, who just won at Scottish Open.
Yeah.
He's a young lad like you, loving life out on tour. And he says when he goes back to his room at night, he's constantly on his, like, his Xbox or whatever it was, a PlayStation. Are you into your gaming as well?
I used to, but this is like back in high school. I don't really play any video games anymore. Honestly, like, I'm so tired at night after a long day that it almost like feels like work to turn on the Xbox or you know, start playing video games. So I put a lot of time in. I just sit there on my phone or my computer watching YouTube or a show or FaceTime and a couple of buddies. It's pretty simple, but I have my kind of unique interests that I like to waste time on at the nights.
Go on then. Seeing that I'm in the world of YouTube, give me some YouTubers you watch. I'm guessing outside of golf, who do you kind of watch?
Yeah. So there's this guy, he talks about essentially like it's fitness, but he talks a lot about like pharmacology as well and just physiology. So it's just like, you know, he talks about drugs essentially. I do not take them. Just to clarify that, but I think it's really interesting just how, you know, you can, and obviously in a in a natural way too, just kind of optimize your body. His YouTube name is like More Plates for More Dates, which is it's like a funny name, but he's pretty smart. You should check him out. Other than that, I've really gotten into watches. So I watch a couple of watch channels. There's one guy named Roman Scharf that I like to watch. And what else we got? And then I watch a lot of I listen to music a lot, and I listen to some pretty hard metal stuff. And there's some people kind of, you know, they just like talk about new songs that are coming out. And I like to try to keep up to date and listen to the new songs and even watch people react to the new songs. So it's, you can just tell that I like to waste a lot of time online.
I feel like we've just learned a lot about you in that one question. Heavy metal. Wow. After a nice relaxing golf day on a golf course, you listen to heavy metal. That's crazy.
You got to get that that energy out at the end of the day, you know.
That's true. I wouldn't want to be one of your neighbors in the hotel then. You'd be rocking all night.
I got my headphones on.
Okay. obviously coming from Norway, you have kind of really shone a beacon on Norwegian golf, and I'm guessing when you go back home that you must be held in such high regard. I mean, you must be, they must be building a statue of you very soon, Victor. Like, what's it like when you do go home?
Well, I thought it was not going to be crazy at all. That was kind of what I was hoping for, to be honest with you. But I went back home the last couple of weeks, and I was going to play a round of golf with a couple of my mates. And there's this online booking system that you basically book rounds through, which I don't know how common is in the rest of Europe, but in the United States, you basically just go out and play, or you call the pro shop, whatever. But some of my buddies, they just put my name in the system, and I didn't really think any people would check it. And I played a course that was an hour and a half away from where I live, which to the first tee, there's like 200 people there. So we ended up in front of a couple hundred people. Yeah. Just, you know, just a fun little round turned out to be almost like a, an exhibition game. So we learned quickly after that day, we should probably just kind of block a tee time or, you know, just show up to the golf course and play. So we were able to just sneak out other places the next couple of days, but it was pretty wild. I did not think it was going to be anything like that.
And I bet for you, I mean, a couple of hundred people is nothing, right? But I bet to the guys you were playing with, I bet they were they were terrified, weren't they?
Yeah, now there were the guys that I played with. They're good players. Two of them were pros, so I guess they're maybe used to playing in that in front of that many people. But you know, they're good golfers. But I almost felt worse for the group in front that teed off in front of us. They were pretty nervous, but they actually striped their two tee shots and they got a standing ovation. So they were pretty pumped.
That is so funny. That's crazy. So with you've had this full season now on tour and you've had fans back, and obviously the I bet the atmosphere now when you play in front of big crowds when you're on the PGA Tour, like you've almost seen that in a really weird way, because obviously kind of 2019 you would have seen it a little bit, 2020 you wouldn't have seen it at all pretty much, and 2021 it's coming back again. I bet it's been, has that been a nice learning curve for you where you've been able to get used to playing in front of crowds, or were you happy to do it straight away from off the bat?
Yeah, it's a little bit different, because in 19 I was able to play as an amateur in the Masters and the US Open. And obviously those crowds are huge. I wasn't in contention, but I did get to, you know, experience the Sunday crowds, and, you know, if you make a putt, make a birdie, you know, hearing the roars and all that. So that was pretty cool. And obviously being in college, you don't get to play in front of that many people. So when kind of the pandemic happened and we weren't able to play in front of people for quite a while, it was weird, but it wasn't the biggest shock to me. It just felt like you were just out there playing a college tournament, you know? Yeah. So for me, that was not that unusual compared to, you know, the bigger names. But then when we started to have people back again, it just, you kind of realized how much you missed playing in front of people, and you know, just how much that can help you when you're making a couple putts, making a couple birdies early, and just kind of carry that momentum. So it'll be pretty cool playing in front of, I think it's going to be 35,000 people out there this week, and I mean those are going to be the biggest crowds we've played in front of since the pandemic happened. So it'll be pretty exciting.
Oh, it's going to be, and I think certainly here in the UK, we've not had that pleasure of going to golf tournaments for so long. I honestly think the crowd this week is going to be unbelievable atmosphere. I really do. I think even though it's not full capacity to what we've had, because over here in the UK, we've been so deprived of any real sporting occasions, bar the Euros that's just been on, where we were lucky enough to go to the Wembley. Some, you know, the capacity was 60,000, I think they let in the end. But like,
yeah.
I think at the Open this week, golf fans, they've not had a chance to see it. They've not had a chance to see the best players in the world play golf in front of them. And we love the Open so much. And I think because we missed it last year, I really do think there's going to be a massive buzz around the place this year, which I think a lot of players will really feed off.
Yeah, I hope so. It's such a cool event. And, you know, just playing links golf is so cool. And the crowds are usually so respectful and courteous and knowledgeable over here. It's going to be a cool week. So hopefully we can provide plenty of birdies.
Yeah. I've heard other players say that before, and it's quite interesting you say it. I believe it or not. Oh no, sorry. I actually went to the Masters 2019, the final day. And for me, that was more like a sporting event with a few people really interested in the golf, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Where it felt, in the UK, it feels like everyone's there for the golf, and all the added extras are just kind of the buy factors for it, really. So it is quite a different atmosphere, and it's interesting how the players react to that and buzz off that as well. I've got a question for you, Victor. Who would you say right now, with your time on tour, who's the best player you've played with? Is there anyone that's, that's really kind of, you've gone, wow?
Or is it's so hard to, you know, say, because you only get to play with guys here and there, you know, rounds here and there, and you don't know if that's, you know, if they're playing good that day or bad that day. So it's a lot of things that can skew that perception. But obviously, I play with John Rahm a couple times, and I think one thing is, like, you look at other plays, it's not so much the score, but how they're playing. And you can just tell with a couple guys, like, he kind of specifically, he looked like he was not playing very good. Like, he was not happy with how he's playing. And then you just look up at the end of the day and he's like, oh, he shot 2 under. Or he wasn't that bad, but he was, you know, not very happy with his game and lift out a bunch of putts. And then you add it up, it's not that bad. And then he goes out the next day and shoots a good round. And then suddenly he's in contention, you know? So it's like, there's a few of those guys where you're just like, you expect them to be in contention, even though they're not playing very good. And I feel like I'm close to that, but I still have some work to do. I need to become a little bit more consistent and work on a couple of things here and there. But there's a handful of guys that are like that, that you're just looking, man, that looks pretty easy. You know, even if they hit a bad shot, it's like they'll hit a good shot the next shot and they end up with a birdie or an easy par. And then, you know, it's the game is pretty easy when you can hit bad shots and recover pretty easily without, you know, any stress. It just doesn't look very stressful, if that makes any sense.
It's almost the players that can fight a good score when they're not playing that well. They can scramble around, they can pull off the odd amazing shot, even when they might not have their A game. And like you said, you jot it up at the end of the day and they're under par and you think, how has that happened? Where a lot of other players would have had to have their better days to match that same score. So that's a really interesting way of you putting it. And have you played with Tiger yet?
I have not. Got pretty close at, I can't remember what the other, I got pretty close at the US Open when I played as an AM. We were like right next to the leaderboard. I think both Friday or after two days and 3 days, but the draw went the other way. So I was able to play in front of him on Sunday there. But did not get the chance to play with him. So that's unfortunate, but that's how it is.
It is. Hopefully he'll make a recovery and get back out there and you might be able to play with him one day. So last question, what does the future hold for Victor? What are your goals? What are your ambitions? What are you looking to achieve in the next year, and what are you looking to achieve in your career?
Yeah, good questions. To be honest with you, I'm not a big goal setter in terms of that stuff. I have goals, but it's more process goals. It's more, okay, I need to get better here and I need to get better here. But to be honest with you, obviously, winning golf tournaments and playing well in tournaments is a lot of fun. But I play golf because of I have a love for the game and I want to see how good I can become. So for me, it's like, you know, I want to get my clubhead speed up a little bit. I want to get better around the greens. I want to be able to get better at flop shots, or, you know, my putting stats need to get a little bit better. And, you know, just kind of dissecting my game like that and seeing how I can improve. And then at the end of the day, if you get better in those areas, you know, I shouldn't say it's up to luck, but there, you know, there's some things that need to go your way for you to win a golf tournament. You know, you can be as skilled as anyone else. But when it comes down to it, you need to make a putt at the right time and you need to close it off. Sure, you can say some of that is mental, but at the same time, it's variance and luck to a certain degree. So I don't like to put a lot of emphasis on, oh, I need to win, 20 times in my career, or I want to win 10 majors. Like, that's all great, but I'm not going to say that I've failed as a golfer if I don't achieve those things. But if I can look at every single year that I've improved, or over 5 years, and then just look back and say, man, I'm so much better than I was 5 years ago, I think that's just in itself is a success, even if I haven't won as much as I would have liked. So that's just kind of how I go about it.
You're controlling the controllables. You're controlling things that you can control. After that, it's 100%. It's out of your hands. You can't, if somebody comes and shoots a 59 in the final round and clears up the field, you can't control that. You just want to be the guy who can shoot that 59 and can shoot those low scores to put you in contention.
You
just mentioned there how you tried to up your club head speed. Just the last thing. Obviously, you're quite famous for this kind of... Have you got a name for it when you get to the top and like pause and then smash it?
Yeah, I haven't done that in a little while. So I did that when I was kind of struggling with my driver at that point, actually, because I was kind of overcutting things. I was coming, my hands were going too far out in the downswing, and I kind of had to tilt back and swipe across it. So for me, that was a way of kind of recentering a little better, and I can get my hands a little bit more inside on the way down, and basically I would hit straighter shots. And funny enough, I was actually... my club head speed probably went up by 2 miles an hour doing that, even though I paused on the way back just because my swing was more efficient. But right now I feel like my swing is in a better place where I don't need to do that. And I've already gained some speed since that time. I probably just this year, I've probably gained, I'd say 4 to 5 miles an hour club head speed.
Wow.
So, and that's been very, very significant for me, and hoping to keep building on that, of course, but it's not something I'm going to do overnight. Yeah. Just if I can consistently maybe get 1 or 2 miles an hour club at speed a year, you take 4 years, that adds up to be, a lot of speed. And then it gets to a point where it's kind of diminished in return. But I think, certainly from where I'm at right now, if I can get from, 117 up to 120, that would really benefit me. Obviously you got to keep the ball somewhere close to the fairway, but if I can kind of just do what I'm doing now and just add a little bit of speed, that's enormous advantage.
Yeah, I think from the way that you've progressed so far, I think you'll achieve everything that you set out to achieve, Victor. You have been awesome. Good luck this week. Hopefully you can have an incredible first Open Championship. We'll be all rooting for you here at the Rickshaws Golf Show. And enjoy your heavy metal and your mad YouTube channels that you watch. And honestly, thanks so much for spending time with us. You've been a pleasure. And again, good luck, pal.
Yeah, thanks, Rick. Thanks for having me on, and maybe I'll see you out there. I'll make sure to give you some music to listen to and some YouTube videos your way.
That's awesome. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, see you, dude.
That was sick.
You know what? I think I've actually mentioned on the podcast before, he's one of my favorite players.
He's a nice guy.
I like his persona, his style, the fact that he's talking about listening to heavy metal music, the fact that he's talking about watching these mad YouTube channels. He's 22, he's very mature, and it's mad with all these, he might be 23 actually, he might be a year older than Minwoo. All these new talent just seems so switched on.
Mm.
Like, me at that age...
You see,
I was so irresponsible. Like, I was ridiculous. I was driving around having a set scene. I was head to toe in Burberry. I'd probably had my hair dyed. I had a Citroen C2, which I had lowered. I had these like 17-inch alloys on them, which were way too big. I used to have this radio kind of CD player, which you used to flip out and take with you so no one stole it.
Yeah.
And on that little digital display, I used to have these little fish, these digital fish swimming across. Like,
did you sit in McDonald's car park with like music on quite
100%.
Loud?
Yeah. I mean, that was me at 22. Yeah. These kids are out there winning millions of pounds and dollars around the world.
playing in the biggest golf tournaments in the world. I mean, the only thing I regret not asking Victor is about the Ryder Cup. He's playing in the bloody Ryder Cup in September. I wish I had more time with him, but I didn't. And these kids are unbelievable. So
they have no fear as well. When it comes to winning tournaments, they're just like Minwoo last week when holding that putt.
Yeah.
They just aren't scared.
Love it. So we've got lots of friends of the show right now. Let's massive praise, shout out to Minwoo this week and to Victor and to everyone else that's been on the show. I am a lucky charm. Mm-hmm. So lump your money on those players.
Yes.
I should say, like anyone that wins there, I'll say, oh yeah, I saw them on the putting green. That's why they won.
Well, what you want to try and do is
I'll somehow make sure it's my lucky charm that helps.
In the next
win.
2 years, get every tour pro on the podcast, and then whenever anyone wins, go, oh, look, Rick's a lucky charm.
You know who else I forgot to mention? In the last episode, we talked about lucky charms. Lee Westwood went on a mega run after he caddied for him. Remember at Wentworth? Yeah. Anyway, can't take credit for everyone's win. A little bit. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Hopefully you enjoyed the sandwich of the podcast.
It was a different
today.
Vibe today, but I think there's a lot to take in for people, and it was a good one. This was on a Friday.
Yeah.
I think we're back to normal on Tuesday. That'll be a proper like rundown of the Open and what happened and
we won
all that stuff.
Don't forget, link in the description. Enter the draw to win a trip to the 150th Open Championship by donating £1.50. Thanks to MasterCard for sponsoring the podcast. Guy, let's go to the Open. It's now, we're running, not late, but we need to get there.
Quick run of the day. Breakfast now, then drive 25 minutes to the Open. Watch the golf.
Sounds good.
Good day at work.
Thanks for listening, everyone. And we'll see you soon. The Open's back.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.